It's 1948, and in Battle Creek, Michigan, Post's top executives are in the conference room munching on the latest creation to come out of the company's experimental kitchen, Sugar Crisp. It all started when a Post salesman noticed an unfamiliar cereal in a Pennsylvania grocery store, something called Ranger Joe, a bunch of puffed wheat coated in sticky sugar and packaged in a cellophane bag. The salesman had never seen any cereal like it before, and neither had the Post's head office team. Post is the nation's number two cereal maker, but it's itching to take over the lead from Kellogg's. Maybe, just maybe, this would be the ticket. So General Manager Clarence Eldridge directed the company's food scientists to create a similar sweetened cereal. Now he and his team are trying it for the first time. After emptying his bowl, Eldridge wipes the milk from his lips with a napkin and grins. Well, this certainly passes the taste test. What's the market research say? Post marketing chief answers. Everything points to Sugar Crisp being very popular. Kids love sugary food, and parents see sweetened cereal as a way to stop their children from piling sugar onto their breakfast. We should get it out there fast, before Kellogg's or General Mills gets wind of Ranger Joe. But Post's nutritionist isn't so sure. Doesn't this go against everything we stand for? We make health food. We promote the nutritional benefits of breakfast cereal. This is like candy. Eldridge nods. He, too, feels uneasy about breaking with Post's healthful origins. Okay, but like we said, aren't kids putting sugar on their cereal anyway? I mean, at least this is a healthier option.
The nutritionist waffles.
Perhaps. I guess what we're really doing is swapping one carbohydrate for another, starch for sugar, so I suppose it's true that the nutritional value could be much the same at the end of the day. In that case, we should go ahead. Any objections?
The room goes quiet. While no one disagrees, they know they're about to cross a line. Until now, Post hasn't strayed far from its origins in the 19th century health movement. Now, it's about to open a Pandora's box that will force the entire industry to follow its lead.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
You know, Audible has a brand new collection of exclusive thrillers. Every move is made more exciting by captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. I just downloaded The Grand Opening by Carl Weber. It's a mystery about a family business in a small southern town, and there are secrets around every turn. You know, when I'm listening, the time just disappears, getting completely immersed in the story and the performances. And as an Audible member, you get to keep one title a month from their entire catalog, including bestsellers and new releases. So come on, listen along. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Head on over to audible.com/BW or just text BW to 500-500. That's audible.com/BW or text BW to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days.
From Wondery, I'm David Brown, and this is Business Wars. On the last episode, Will Kellogg defeated his brother in Post cereals to make Kellogg's the market leader. Meanwhile, General Mills used radio to sneak into third place and knock Quaker Oats into fourth. But now, number two player Post is about to revolutionize the cereal world with its new sweetened puffs. This is episode 3,
Sugar Rush. It's 1949, and in Chester, Pennsylvania, the boom of serial puffing guns is reverberating through the Ranger Joe factory. It's been a decade since Jim Rex created his Honey Puffs. After his own underfunded Ranger Joe business flopped, Rex sold the rights to a Philadelphia stockbroker named Moses Burger. Since then, the 50-something Burger's been working hard to make a success of the sugary cereal. He steadily built sales across the Northeast by stuffing free toys into the packaging and touring grocery stores to offer shoppers free samples. He's also built this small but modern factory with a 60-strong workforce, and now he's dreaming of going national. He's sitting at his desk, jotting down plans for bringing Ranger Joe into the big time, when there's a knock at the door. Come in. The factory manager enters, holding a newspaper in his hand. He's got a worried look on his face.
Boss, you seen this?
The factory manager hands Burger the newspaper. Burger stares in horror at a huge ad for a new candied cereal called Post Sugar Crisp. He knows Ranger Joe doesn't stand a chance against Post. Post is part of General Foods, the giant behind Jell-O, Maxwell House, and Birdseye. How can he possibly compete? Burger decides he needs to find a buyer for his cereal business before his small-time operation is crushed. And it's a wise move, because Post's going all out to make Sugar Crisp a winner. Post's general manager, Clarence Eldridge, has been watching the rise of General Mills with alarm. General Mills cereals Cheerios, Kix, and Wheaties are sucking up Post's market share. Eldridge needs a home run with Sugar Crisp to put distance between it and the number three cereal manufacturer. So Post has purchased new printing presses that can package Sugar Crisp in colorful boxes decorated with cartoon bears. And it's embracing the latest home entertainment sensation too, television. Eldridge remembers how General Mills used radio to make rapid headway in the 30s. Now, he reckons Post can do the same with TV. The company's first move is to make a big splash by sponsoring the hottest sci-fi show on TV.
Stand by for Captain Video and his Video Rangers.
Brought to you today by Post Sugar Crisp, a great new cereal you can eat three ways. As a cereal, it's dandy. For snacks, it's so handy. Or eat it like candy. Post Sugar Crisp.
The mix of Captain Video, bright packaging, and cartoon bears pays off. Within months, Sugar Crisp is stealing shelf space from rival cereals and sending Post's market share soaring. Thrilled by the gains, Post floods the market with more candy-kissed breakfast options. And that's got Kellogg's chief executive, Watson Vanderplug, worried. It's 1949, and Vanderplug is on a train to Chicago. He gazes out the window with two things on his mind. The first is whether Kellogg should follow Post's example and start adding sugar to its cereals. It feels like a betrayal of the company's past. But the big bucks being made by Sugar Crisp are very hard to ignore. The second thing on his mind is whether to buy into the expensive and strange new world of TV advertising. As he considers his options, a portly man takes the seat opposite. Vanderplug glances at the scruffy-looking guy. His suit is creased, his tie's askew, there's cigarette ash smeared on his pants. But when the guy opens his briefcase and takes out a copy of Advertising Age, well, Vanderplug's intrigued.
Excuse me, do you work in advertising?
Yep, got my own agency in Chicago.
Well then, can I ask you a question?
Shoot.
My name is Watson Vanderplug. I'm the chief executive of Kellogg's. We're thinking a lot about getting into television advertising, but it seems expensive. What do you think of television?
The disheveled ad man leads forward.
With television, you can capture people's total attention. It's the future. It's worth the money.
They spend the rest of the journey discussing TV's potential. When the train pulls into Union Station, the ad man gets up and hands Vanderplug a dog-eared business card.
Here's my card. Just give me one of your products and I'll show you what I can do.
As the paunchy ad man walks off, Vanderplug examines the card. The man he just met is Leo Burnett, who's destined to become the advertising legend behind the Marlboro Man and the Pillsbury Doughboy. A few weeks later, Vanderplug calls Burnett. He's got a cereal for him to promote, Kellogg's Corn Soya. Burnett wants to get in with Kellogg's, but Corn Soya is a turkey of a product. Promoted as a bodybuilding breakfast, this high-protein blend of shredded corn grits and soybeans has been languishing on the shelves since 1945. But Burnett knows this is his shot at landing the biggest ad account in the cereal business. So he orders his people to go hunting for a TV show that can boost Corn Soya's sales. It's spring of 1950, and a Burnett ad executive is at Grauman's Chinese Theater in Hollywood. He's watching an old black and white Western starring Tim McCoy. As McCoy struts around in his Stetson, the ad man realizes this famous cowboy is the perfect salesman for a muscle-building cereal. Shortly after, McCoy's Kellogg-sponsored show makes its debut.
Yes, time now for the real McCoy, Tim McCoy.
McCoy doesn't work wonders, but he does lift Corn Soya's sales. But for Kellogg's, the real lesson here isn't the size of McCoy's sales boost. No, it's the fact that television can sell just about anything, even Corn Soya. Kellogg's is so impressed, it appoints Burnett as its ad agency. The alliance is well-timed, too, because after months of internal debate, the company is following the money and jumping on the pre-sweetened cereal bandwagon. And Burnett more than delivers for Kellogg's. He pairs its new sugar corn pops with the popular television show The Adventures of Superman. He brings in popular television host Art Linkletter to turn All Brand's image from a cure for constipation to a health food. Burnett also persuades Kellogg's to treat its cereal boxes like colorful billboards by creating eye-catching boxes that leap out at shoppers from the shelves. And then he caps it off by giving Kellogg's a star for the ages. It's 1951, and in Battle Creek, Kellogg's CEO Watson Vanderplug is introducing Burnett to the company's latest creation. It's a cereal made from sugar-dusted cornflakes. Vanderplug reckons it can outsell Post Sugar Crisp.
We're calling it Sugar Frosted Flakes. It uses a technique we developed that makes the sugar on the flakes look frosty. I want a cartoon animal to help sell it, like those sugar bears Post uses on Sugar Crisp, but better. Can you do that?
Oh, I created the Jolly Green Giant, didn't I? Leave it to me.
A week later, Burnett's creative team in Chicago are bouncing around ideas for what animals should promote sugar-frosted flakes.
They're frosted, so how about a polar bear?
Too obvious. What about an elephant?
They agree that's a possibility. Someone else suggests a kangaroo. Then a copywriter hits on another idea.
A tiger.
Nice, okay.
Anything else? A new?
A what?
A new. It's like a wildebeest.
The new and the elephant don't make the final cut, but the team can't decide between the kangaroo and the tiger. So, they let the public choose. They hire a group of former Disney animators to create ads for both characters, and then persuade Kellogg's to launch Sugar Frosted Flakes with two boxes, one with a kangaroo, the other with a tiger. In 1952, the two animals go head-to-head on TV. Katie the kangaroo arrives, pirouetting around on the screen with a Joey in her pouch and a yellow sun hat on her head.
I'm Katie the kangaroo.
I hop and skip and bounce around. You'd think I was elastic. Wow. And with these frosted flakes of corn, I trip the light fantastic.
New flakes, frosted flakes, Kellogg sugar frosted flakes.
Katie's rival is Tony the Tiger, a big cat with a diamond-shaped head, razor-sharp teeth, and a red neckerchief. Where Katie is elegant and graceful, he's strong and gregarious.
And if you want to find out just how good Kellogg's Sugar Frosted Flakes are, why, ask Tony. Tell him, Tony.
Great!
New Flakes, Frosted Flakes, Kellogg's Sugar Frosted Flakes.
Katie the kangaroo's dainty dancing can't stand up to Tony the Tiger's memorable roar. And neither can Post Sugar Crisp. Sugar Frosted Flakes quickly becomes the best-selling sugared cereal. And for General Mills' marketing team, Sugar Frosted Flakes' success is an unexpected gift. And that's because it's been war inside the company's Minneapolis headquarters ever since Sugar Crisp burst onto the scene. The marketing team is eager to join the sugar rush, but the food researchers have been refusing to make a sweetened cereal due to their qualms about the pre-sweetened cereal's nutritional value. But with Tony the Tiger stalking the cereal aisles, a showdown is inevitable. The marketing chief hands out charts showing how sweetened cereal is boosting Post and Kellogg's market share.
Just look at the figures. We're being left behind. We start making pre-sugared cereal or we die. Parents don't seem to have any problem with it, so why should we?
As usual, the food research chief digs in his heels.
We've never needed sugar before. What kind of company do we want to be? We should be sticking to making healthy cereals with added vitamins.
But the food chief's fighting a losing battle. Ever since the sugar craze took off, General Mills' cereal sales have gone soggy. Sales of Wheaties are falling, and kids who once loved Kix are defecting to sweeter rivals. After hours of wrangling, the marketing team finally gets its way. In 1953, General Mills joins the candy crowd. To make up for lost time, it rushes out as many pre-sweetened cereals as it can. It sugar frosts Kix to create sugar jets. It mixes sugary wheat and corn puffs to spawn sugar smiles. And it conjures up a fruity-tasting colored cereal called Trix. Despite the sugar, nothing it creates sticks. By late 1954, General Mills is a distant third to Kellogg's and Post. And that's when Quaker Oats moves in to pull General Mills down a peg by launching one of the biggest giveaways in history. As business owners and managers, you use software for your business every day. You use one piece of software to manage your customers, another to manage your employees, another to manage your finances, and the list goes on. You buy these pieces independently and hope they fit neatly together like a puzzle. And then you find out the hard way that they don't, and you end up with a mess at the heart of your business operations. Does any of this sound familiar? Well, fortunately, Zoho offers a solution to this chaos. It's called Zoho One. Zoho One is a suite of around 50 pre-integrated business applications that fit together beautifully. So instead of dealing with disparate software from multiple vendors with multiple contracts and price points, you deal with one vendor with all the pieces of the business software puzzle neatly put together, offered at a very attractive price. Now, if this sounds interesting to you, you got to check out Zoho One at zoho.one. That's Zoho.one. With Zoho, you're not just licensing apps. You're licensing peace of mind. We get support from Airbnb. Staying in an Airbnb is often one of my favorite parts of a trip, especially on business travel. Instead of slogging to another hotel and waiting in line after you've been driving or flying all day, there is nothing better than landing in a place that, well, really feels like a home away from home. Maybe you've stayed in an Airbnb before and thought to yourself, you know, this actually seems pretty doable. Maybe my place could be an Airbnb. Well, I'm here to tell you it could be. You could be sitting on an Airbnb and not even know it. It might be as simple as starting with your spare room, or maybe even your whole place when you're away. Say you and your family are headed away for a much-deserved spring break.
well, why not Airbnb your place and make some extra money towards the trip? Win-win. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's 3 a.m. on a Monday in late 1954, and Quaker Oats ad boss Bruce Baker can't sleep. He paces the kitchen of his home in the Chicago suburbs, thinking about the presentation he's due to give at 9 o'clock. Sales of Quaker's unsugared puffed cereals are tanking, overshadowed by the sweeter offerings of its bigger competitors. Baker's bosses want him to suggest a sales-boosting promotion they can run in January, but he's got nothing. Zip, nada, diddly squat. And if he goes into that meeting without an idea, he'll be unemployed by the afternoon. He checks his watch. 6 hours to go. And then from out of nowhere, an idea pops into his head. At 9 a.m., Baker's in Quaker's downtown headquarters, juiced up by a bucket load of coffee. He takes a deep breath and launches into his presentation.
I want to do a tie-in with the Sergeant Preston of the Yukon radio show.
His colleagues aren't overwhelmed. Quaker sponsored this Canadian Mountie adventure show for years. It's also offered plenty of Sergeant Preston-themed giveaways to promote its cereal, including brass police whistles and an electronic ore detector that resembles a Geiger counter. But Baker's not finished.
The free gift will be land. Land. Let's put a deed inside boxes of puffed rice and puffed wheat, entitling the owner to a piece of Yukon Gold Rush territory. 1 square inch in every pack. I'm telling you, people will love it.
The executives stare at Baker. Has he lost his mind? A company lawyer breaks the silence.
Sounds like a legal nightmare. Also, what the hell can anyone do with a square inch of land? Grow a flower?
Baker shakes his head.
You're missing the point. It's about the sense of owning something in this mysterious place you'll probably never visit. I mean, it's the Yukon, right? Who the hell is ever gonna go up there anyway?
It's winter, 1954, and Baker's in Canada's Yukon Territory. He's on a boat cruising down the Yukon River from Dawson City. He's come to see the slice of the Klondike region the Quaker plans to give away. It's colder than the coldest Chicago winter. The tip of his nose is already frostbitten. Next to him is the corporate lawyer who is not thrilled at being made to join Baker on this trip. Suddenly, the boat slams into rock and tips on its side. Freezing water rushes onto the boat. The Mountie guide driving the boat yells at the executives.
Bail the water! Bail the water or we'll sink!
Half an hour later, they're back on their way, exhausted, wet, and even colder. Finally, the Mountie stops the boat on the river's west bank, and they disembark. The Mountie checks his map and compass.
Okay, this way.
The trio tramp through deep snow for a few minutes, and then the Mountie stops.
Well, here we are.
Baker stares at the wilderness Quaker is about to buy in a madcap quest to sell more cereal. There's nothing here. Just rock, snow, and rotting wagons left over from the gold rush days. No wonder these 19 acres only cost $1,000. Baker takes out his Kodak camera to take a publicity photo. Nothing happens. It's so cold the camera stopped working. In silence, the three men share the lone chocolate bar they brought with them before returning to the boat. As they head back to Dawson City, Baker turns to the lawyer.
I guess you're vetoing the giveaway after this debacle.
The lawyer glares at Baker.
You think I'm going to come all the way up here, get frostbite and nearly drown in freezing ice water so I can go back to Chicago with nothing to show for it? Of course we're doing this.
In January 1955, Baker's promotion launches on the Sergeant Preston radio show.
Gold! Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice, bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon.
The promotion sparks a frenzy. Shoppers strip stores of Quaker Puffs. Quaker's factories can't stuff land deeds into boxes fast enough to meet demand. Some people collect multiple deeds, hoping to amass enough square inches to claim a plot big enough to stand in. It's one of the biggest sales promotions in U.S. history. But what those rushing to buy Quaker's cereal don't know is that the deeds are worthless. Quaker realized it would be insanely expensive to formally register millions of square inch plots of land, so it didn't bother. And when the company fails to pay a $37 property tax bill a decade later, Canada repossesses the land. Even worse, the moment the campaign ends, the extra sales vanish. Quaker ends 1955 facing the same problems it had a year before. But Quaker's not the only one struggling. Third place General Mills is drowning under Kellogg's onslaught. Kellogg's has nearly 50% of the market, four times as much as General Mills. Kellogg's is also using its dominance to conquer the new supermarkets. It's persuading grocery stores to give its cereals prime position on the shelves. It's even convincing supermarkets to arrange cereal aisles by manufacturer rather than product type so that Kellogg's Corn Flakes never sit next to a competitor. But General Mills is not ready to wave the white flag just yet. Instead, it's going to fight back by reinventing how it sells its cereals with the help of a moose, a flying squirrel, a rabbit, and a leprechaun. On the next episode, cereal taps into the space race, war breaks out over cornflakes, and General Mills learns some new tricks.
Hey, Prime members, you can binge every episode of Business Wars ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
From Wondery, this is Business Wars. Quick note about the conversations you've been hearing. We can't know exactly what was said, but this dialogue is based on our best research. I'm your host, David Brown. Tristan Donovan wrote this story. Karen Lowe is our senior producer and editor. Donna Hyams edited this story. Our editor and producer is Jenny Lauer Beckman. Sound design by Bay Area Sound. Our executive producer is Marshall Louie, created by Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.